I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
That's right. You hear that, Joe Murray? Sports Hub Golf Club. Not the golf show, or as Troop used to call it, Tea Time with Hardy. Go ahead and troll me all you want. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club. All right, nobody cares. Hey, good morning. Hope you're off to a good Saturday so far. It's Hardy. We're going to be talking, as Joe Murray just said, and Dan Lifshitz about the Masters. There's a little bit of news about the Masters this week and what you can expect when that tournament happens, hopefully in November. We will also be speaking with Jesse Menachem, who is the executive director of Mass Golf. They had a tournament earlier this week. There's still some confusion, I think, about what Mass Golf is in terms of what they do, who they are. So Jesse is the executive director, and we've had him on the show before, and we've talked, you know, Mass Golf stuff before. But this will be a little getting-to-know-you session coming up at 8:30 this morning with Jesse Menachem of Mass Golf. And we'll be talking a little bit more about all the programs that they have, specifically with youth golf. Jesse and I spoke at a tournament they were holding earlier this week, and that's the conversation you'll hear. We didn't have a lot of time to get into all their youth golf programs, and there's some really good ones that you may know by name, whether it's First Tee or different ways to get kids out and playing. I'll get into it a little bit today, but later on in the next week or two, I think we're going to have Jesse back on, or somebody from Mass Golf, to talk about kids and golf, because if you're a parent, you know right now it's a struggle to figure out what's going on athletics-wise with your kids, what's allowed, what isn't. And golf is one of the things that we learned early on was deemed safe, thank God. And to get kids out and playing right now, whether they're playing more or just playing for the first time, great opportunity to introduce them or to continue their growth in the game. Also this morning, we got to talk about what happened at the PGA Championship and what's going on at the Wyndham and what's going on next week at the Northern Trust. So let us begin with the first major of the year, which of course was held last weekend in San Francisco. Colin Morikawa was your winner of the PGA Championship. Now, I am not going to tell you that I've been following Colin Morikawa's college career and know everything about him, but I knew who he was before this tournament started. And this is something you just have to block out. If you're a golf fan and you enjoy watching tournament golf week in and week out, and especially in the majors, you have to block out the noise of people who say, oh, here we go, another no-name winning a major, and it's nothing interesting. Colin Morikawa is an interesting guy. Now, that may be a contradiction in terms for someone who's 23 years old. He hasn't had a chance to lead a very fulfilling life, unless you went into, you know, active military service right away, or you're, you know, have some great story to tell. What? Great golfer from a young age, great collegiate golfer, but he does have a couple of interesting things already on his resume, and I'm not even necessarily talking about wins. We'll get to that in a second. But the way the leaderboard shook down was this. Colin Morikawa, he won the PGA 13 under par. He had very good rounds of 69 and 69 to open up last Thursday and Friday. Over the weekend, if you were watching, 65 on Saturday and then 64 on Sunday, including a drive on the drivable par four, and not even drivable for the likes of Bryson DeChambeau. He couldn't even hit driver there because it was playing just a shade under 300 yards. But Colin Morikawa's driver that he hit on that hole, just a tiny little cut to get to the right side of the green, and then to me, even more impressively, make the putt for eagle. That was Colin Morikawa in a nutshell. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Also, Paul Casey was one of the runners-up. Paul Casey was one of the guys who was early on the Colin Morikawa bandwagon. He shot a 66 on Sunday, and afterward, kind of figuratively threw up his hands and said, "What are you going to do? I had a great week." And he did. He shot 68, 67, 68, 66 in a major championship and lost by two strokes. He said, "What am I going to do? I'm going to beat myself up over this." Now, Dustin Johnson is a guy that people really, really liked. We spoke with Luke Pergandy from Prop Swap last week, and the Dustin Johnson props were through the roof, and people were getting, you know, thousands of dollars on tickets that were going to pay off, even more thousands. Again, he didn't have a bad week. He had a great Saturday when he shot 65. But he fell 68 on Sunday. He didn't fall apart. He didn't come unglued. He didn't puke all over his foot joys or whatever the hell he wears. He shot a 68 on Sunday and lost by two strokes. Matthew Wolf was one, you know, maybe one guy who looked at it and said, "Okay, that's kind of a bad beat." Because Matthew Wolf went out and shot a 65 on Sunday and he lost by three. But it was that 69. I mean, these guys are playing so good right now. Matthew Wolf, who tied for fourth, 69, 68, 68, and then the 65 on Sunday, and he wasn't even really in it because of Colin Morikawa and his back-to-back rounds of 65 and 64 on Saturday and Sunday. So Colin Morikawa is one of these young guys who, for some reason, does not rub me the wrong way. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, I don't know, maybe it's because they've been so good for so long and they were friends and they seemed to root for each other, and Jordan Spieth just seemed unbeatable. I didn't really warm up to Jordan Spieth until I saw him become human at the Masters several years ago and pop a couple in Rays Creek. I couldn't relate to a guy like that. Colin Morikawa, I can't relate to either in terms of the way he hits the ball and is just as nice a guy as he seems to be, but I don't know what it is. It's the way he conducts himself on the course and the way that he is so unbelievably solid. Paul Casey, the guy who finished runner-up to him and said, "I played as well as I can." His quote was, I just shot 66. I had two bogeys and one double this week. There's not a lot else I would change. But he also says Colin Morikawa is a guy who is just different. And Paul Casey describes him as a guy who had instant maturity. If you've ever heard him talk, and I did earlier this year, the way he conducts himself, the way he plays golf, he's a very, very mature 23-year-old. Not to mention, other people have assessed his game. And there's a guy by the name of Jonathan Wall, who is an editor at Golf Magazine. Okay? Jonathan Wall wrote, I think, during the PGA Championship, while it was going on. This is back on August 9th. Like 6 days ago. All right. So it was on Sunday. He said, back in school, Colin Morikawa went through a testing session on TrackMan. You're familiar with TrackMan. This is the high-tech system where you hit balls, and it gives you digital readouts, and you see versions of that or things like TrackMan when you're being fit for clubs, and you know, some guys have them in their homes. You know, Tiger Woods has TrackMan set up in his home. You know, this is something that really, really high level players look at to examine not just ball flight, but attack angle and club head speed and ball speed off the club. Anyway, Jonathan Wall says Colin Morikawa went through a testing session on TrackMan back in school and revealed his dispersion pattern with a six iron. And again, if you've ever been fit for clubs, you see this. Your the lines of all your shots and where they go. And you know, okay, you kind of lost that one to the right and you hooked that one a little bit. Oh, that one's right down the line. And you had a series of good shots that were only 3 or 4 yards off of center. Great. Good for you. He said Colin Morikawa's dispersion pattern with a 6-iron was as good as most elite players with a pitching wedge. He said, this kid is the real-life Iron Byron, the old ping robot that they would use that was supposedly had the most repeatable swing of any mechanical thing that had ever been invented for simulating a golf swing. Dispersion pattern with a 6-iron as good as most elite players with a pitching wedge. Colin Morikawa had that while he was still in college. So that's who he is in terms of his golf swing. And in terms of his personality, the maturity of someone much older, and just a nice guy. He is one of these young guys that I find myself rooting for out there. And there's a couple more coming up in the ranks right now that have been around for a few years. But whether, you know, Matthew Wolf, who is came out right at the same time as Colin Morikawa did, or the likes of Harold Varner III, who is doing very well right now at the Wyndham Championship. We'll get to him in a few minutes. There's a lot of young guys on tour right now that I'm rooting for. And that has not been my pattern. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old enough now to where I don't feel any jealousy toward these guys. I just look at nice guys, good personalities, who can just play the hell out of the game. And I find myself rooting for some of these younger generation of players more so than I have in years past. I just mentioned the Wyndham Championship. That's going on right now. Let you know what's going on with that tournament. Let you know what's happening next week with the Northern Trust. A couple of players who are going to be there. And we'll take your phone calls, too. If you had any thoughts on the PGA Championship and Colin Morikawa's win, Dustin Johnson unable to close, anything that you saw last weekend, anything you want to talk about, it's 617-779-0985. As the Sports Hub Golf Club continues here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club. We'll get to your calls. This is great. See, one, two. See, three calls on the board. Two of them are for Colin Morikawa, which is, you know what this is turning into? The anti-Felger and Maz show. I only heard a little snippet of it on Monday after the PGA Championship, but I heard those guys going off. And once again, like same old, same old. Like how, you know, professional golf is boring now. And, you know, for... And I love both those guys. I truly do. I played golf with Maz a week ago, right? But for him especially to like somehow dismiss Colin Morikawa's win at the PGA as being boring. Felger, I get it. Felger fell out of love with golf a long time ago. Felger was a player. Felger could play. He got the yips. Have I ever said it? Have we ever discussed this? Why Felger stopped playing? Got the yips. He was a single digit. He was a stick. Couldn't putt. Gave up the game. Plays once or twice a year now. He'd rather be holding a live rattlesnake than a putter. But this is Felger's thing all along. Oh, it's not Jack and Arnie. Yeah, well, you know what? Arnie's not getting up out of the grave, and Jack is not playing anymore, so you can either embrace some of the new talent that you see come across your TV screen every week, like Colin Morikawa, and enjoy it, or you can just say, oh, everything was better back then, which is so boring to me. And there are new guys that I don't like. I'm telling you, I like Colin Morikawa. I like watching Matt Wolf. I like watching Harold Varner III. No, of course you don't know who they are because they didn't grow up next door to you. You got to learn about them. Let's see what Nate in Bridgewater thinks about all this. Go ahead, Nate. You're on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Guys?
How you doing?
What's up, Hottie? Good to talk to you, buddy. This is Nate from Bridgewater. We share the mutual disdain for the therapist in The Departed.
Oh, yes. I mean, just It's not even the it's not the actor, and it's not even her acting. It's the script
more than
anything.
Scene. It's the scene. It's the dialogue. It's just not natural. It's weird.
Nate,
anyway,
I gotta say, your vulnerability is really freaking me out. Right now.
I knew
is
you were
real?
Gonna go there, Hardy. I think it is. But anyways, on to Colin. Right, if anybody who you know, this is probably the first real shot that like you know. Regular people who don't watch golf every week got a chance to see this kid play. I can't remember all the names of the tournaments because they usually change every other year anyways, but was it the Barracuda that he won earlier this year?
Yeah, I think it was, and I'll double check for you, but I that's when I first saw him. I didn't know who Colin Morikawa was. I thought he was, you know, I didn't even know he was a U.S. player. I didn't know.
And to be honest with you, neither did I. I call me ignorant for that, but that's it. There's so many great young Asian players that you see their names up on the leaderboards every week, but you really don't get a chance to see them shine the way Colin did. But if you watch that tournament, you could see his iron play was like 10 levels above the rest of the field in that tournament, and he looked just as sharp this past week. And the thing about his swing that is encouraging because I have a similar type of backswing is that he takes the club back so freaking slow that you'd think he wouldn't have any kind of a rhythm going through the ball. And he almost comes to a complete stop at his backswing. And then he just flushes it every time. And as a golfer, I'm sure you could attest that it's just so freaking annoying watching somebody play that well.
It is. And thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Nate. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. Seeing someone take the club back that slowly. And as, you know, and again, to bring up Maz again, who is a good player, Maz says, you know, his whole thing is timing. Hardy, it's timing. I know it's timing. My timing sucks. And my timing sucks worse when I try and take the club back that slowly. It throws my timing all off. And everybody's got a, you know, slightly different swing. By the way, Morikawa did win the Barracuda, but it was over a year ago. This year, he won the Workday Charity Open. And again, who's supposed to remember the names of these tournaments? The Workday Charity opened back in July, but it was July of 2019 when he won the Barracuda. But yeah, I don't know how he does it. I don't know. I truly don't. Most of these guys are to borrow the phrase as it related to Tiger Woods back in the day, these guys are all playing a game with which I am unfamiliar. I don't know how they do the things they do. But it is especially galling to see someone as young as Morikawa to take the club back as slowly as he does, still get that type of timing down, and to be able to put the ball exactly where he wants it. Everyone talks about the drive on the par four, which was fantastic. I'm not dismissing how good that drive was. You know what I'm impressed with? The putt. The drive doesn't mean anything. You put the ball to 8 feet on a par four with your tee shot. Great. Did you make the birdie or the eagle putt? That's what counts. That's what kills me about the Phil Mickelson replay. And we'll get it. We'll get it here in another couple months when they play the Masters. His shot off the pine straw on the back nine at Augusta. That the impossible shot. And he hit it to 6 feet on the par five. Yeah, but he missed the eagle putt, so what? You know, you could have laid up, pitched it close, made the putt, and had the same score. How'd you finish? Morikawa finished. I'm impressed with all aspects of his game, quite frankly. Casey in California. What's going on, Casey?
Hey, Adi. Thanks for taking my call. It's Casey
early out there. What are you doing? I mean, it's not even 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I know. I got up to, go to the bathroom, put you on. Now I can't get back to sleep.
Okay. All right, but good deal.
I golf with a guy out here who caddies for a guy who came up with Colin Morikawa. And earlier this year, just after they opened the courses back up in April, we were playing, and he's like, you got to watch this kid, Colin Morikawa. He is outstanding. And the purest iron striker I've ever played with, it was his words. And he's like, this kid's going to be good, so good. And sure enough, I put him in all my pools every week, and I still haven't won anything. I haven't won. I didn't put him as a winner for the championship, which I should have. I feel like I'm missing missing out on a bunch of money here. But the kid's so good. And just, I mean, a great kid. Smile, the way he conducts himself, and how humble he is when the trophy cover dropped off. You know, just a great kid.
I don't know how you don't like this kid. And I'm glad you saw it firsthand, Casey, and you identified it early. Because let's face it, I go and watch these guys, and in years past, you know, I'd be one of the lunatics at the range there at the Deutsche Bank or at the Dell and now the Northern Trust, just watching guys hit balls, right? Because, I don't know, I just find something oddly soothing about watching just pure iron strike after pure iron strike. But there are guys who seem like they're working at it, and there are guys who seem like they are naturals. And it seems like Colin Morikawa, although he's put in a ton of work, he seems like a natural. He seems like a guy who's going to get it pure just about every time. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Casey. And even, look, he's not perfect. Maybe that's why I like him, too. You saw him flub that approach, but he made the pitch or the chip from off the green to save birdie on that hole. I guess I like the air of invincibility, but it turns out he is fallible, but then he can recover, right? That's what golf is. You know, breaks, good and bad. Ones you deserve, ones you don't deserve. What do you make of them? And he made the most of it. And I tell you what, those back-to-back scores on Saturday and Sunday last weekend, most impressive. Rob in Fort Myers, what's going on, buddy?
Howdy, how are you, man?
I'm doing well.
Hey, watching Colin swing is just going to be a joy to watch over the next decade. As long as he doesn't talk to Jordan Spieth's coach, we'll be all good.
Well, he's awesome. I'm glad you brought up Jordan Spieth, because here's a guy who had one of these swings that appeared to be, I guess, Morikawa-like, in that it's like, wow, this is just kind of like the silhouette of like the perfect golf swing. It's on plane. There's, you know, there's nothing crazy that you don't see as unrepeatable. I'm always amazed that guys like Jim Furyk or, you know, even, you know, Matthew Wolf with his, you know, that way crazy vertical point that he's at the top are able to repeat those swings. So it does amaze me when those guys are able to sustain their success. And conversely, I'm amazed when a guy like Jordan Spieth somehow loses it on a swing that seems like just so textbook. I mean, if you have a textbook swing, how do you lose it? I don't know.
Well, you and I both know that the golf swing is a finicky thing that can change while you're sleeping at night, you know, without your knowledge the next day.
It's a fickle mistress, isn't it, Rob?
It really is. But hey, this week's tournament, the Wyndham, two Massachusetts guys are doing very, very well.
I'm glad you brought that
Oppenheim,
up. Yep,
top 10, and Jake Schumann from Sharon, Massachusetts, made his PGA Tour debut. Might as a Monday qualifier, no less.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I haven't even done the leaderboard yet. Rob, good to talk to you, buddy. And I saw Rob Oppenheim, the North Shore's own Rob Oppenheim, up there, which is fantastic. But the fact that we had another Monday qualifier here, and this is a kid that I don't know. I don't know from Schumann, from the next town over from me, over there in Sharon. So hopefully we'll get a chance to look at him over the weekend. The rest of the leaderboard, Billy Horschel, another good guy. He's 10 under par, and it's a four-way tie at the top of the leaderboard. Harold Varner III is the guy that I will be rooting for, along with Horschel. I like Horschel, but Harold Varner is a guy I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple of times, and I've talked about him before on the show. A guy who came up playing Muni Golf in South Carolina. He is one of just a couple of players of color on the tour right now. And he's, you know, he's got the ultimate, you know, silver spoon name, you know, fifth generation golf pro name, and Harold Varner III. It is so not him. And he is the most laid back, easygoing. There's a reason why I've had the chance to talk to him a couple of times, because in these PR settings, the PGA Tour PR people know who to send out for interviews. They know who to send to the to the sponsor tent, as they did a couple of years ago, to conduct a little panel session that I moderated. It was Harold Varner III. It was Patrick Reed. Yeah. And it was Henrik Stenson. And it's like, okay, Henrik Stenson, Patrick Reed, everybody knows those two. Nobody really knew Harold Varner III. Why do they keep putting him out there? Why did they send him over to the interview tent? Because he's a great, great guy. And he's honest, and he's funny, and he's relaxed, and he's a hell of a player. He's 9 under par. He's one stroke off the lead right now. So, and I'll, of course, rooting for, you know, Rob Oppenheim. He's been on the show before. And, you know, whatever local connections we can make, fantastic. Love to see it. And love to see somebody getting in on a Monday qualifier, too, which doesn't happen all that often, as Jake Schumann did, which I didn't know. Thank you for the thanks for the info on him, Rob, from Sharon, Massachusetts. All right. Born in Boston. Good deal, Jake. All right. As I said earlier in the show, I had a chance to go to one of the tournaments hosted by Mass Golf earlier in the week up in Lynn, Massachusetts. Of course, I had never been to before. Absolutely gorgeous. It was a municipal course. It was the Publix tournament. So we'll listen to the conversation I had at that time with Jesse Menachem, who is the executive director of Mass Golf. That'll be coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. I'm standing here at Gannon Municipal Golf Course in Lynn, Massachusetts with Jesse Menachem. He is the executive director of Mass Golf. You guys just had a tournament here today. More on that coming up in a minute, Jesse. But first of all, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Now, for those who don't know, Mass Golf is, it's one of those names you hear a lot and you see it a lot. But what exactly is Mass Golf?
So we're really the State Golf Association, the governing body, if you will, servicing 90,000 golfers, 360 member clubs, and our services range from handicapping and course rating to hosting championships and tournaments and a robust junior golf program as well.
Are you affiliated with the USGA, PGA in any way?
So we are partners with the USGA. We're what they call an allied golf association. So we have the ability to provide USGA gin handicaps, and we also conduct USGA qualifying locally and for their sectional events as well.
Well, I want to get into that right away. The handicap service that you guys provide, because, you know, if you're a member at a club or you have a home course, it's a little easier to establish a handicap. But if you're one of the many, dare I say, majority of golfers who just bounce around and play different places, it seems like one of those things like, I got to get a handicap. How do I get a handicap? Mass Golf can help with that.
We can, and handicapping is a major part of the game. It allows us all to have an equitable competition or friendly match, and it's something we strive to push. And like you said, those that are familiar with golf and getting introduced to the game can go to their club, and they kind of know the situation and the routine. But for those that don't, there's a few opportunities. One's online through our Members Now program to be able to establish a handicap at one of our clubs and really have that ability to track your scores. It's an essential piece to being a frequent golfer.
No one has a problem with playing from the correct tee. Well, I shouldn't say no one. A lot of people play from too far back. But for the most part, you know, if I'm going out with my wife, she has no problem playing from the forward tees, and I have no problem playing from whatever men's tees I'm playing from. For some reason, people seem reluctant to put handicaps into use during even friendly matches, and I don't know what else to say, Jesse, other than that's what it's there for. So if you and I are going out to play and, Jesse, you need to give me 3 strokes, I'll take them on the 3 hardest handicap holes, and that just helps to level out the match. It doesn't give you a crazy unfair advantage either way. It just makes it a more equitable, even game to go play, even in a friendly circumstance.
That's exactly right. It is a bit under the radar, and it's something we're looking to promote more to get more golfers within our community and understanding the rules of handicapping and why it's so important. There's really not a lot of sports or activities out there that offer a handicap option, you know, that can allow you to have that equity.
Right.
And it's a special game for that, and it's something you know, like you said, you're going out for nine holes with your wife. You can have a friendly competition, no matter if you're playing different sets of tees. So, you know, those are all the dynamics of the system, and we're here to help to cater to that and to support that.
I think it's a huge component in this. I really do. You know, if you're playing tennis with the same guy week in and week out, and you're just getting your teeth kicked in, you're probably going to find a different tennis partner. In golf, you don't have to do that. You can play with someone who is better than you then, better than you now, better than you will ever be, but you can still have an even match if you both have registered handicaps.
That's a special part of golf, and we believe in it, and we see more golfers coming on year in and year out, and especially in 2020. You know, the game has really taken off, and we're hoping to sustain that. But to have that metric, to have that ability to track your play, and, you know, the following morning you can get your updated index, you know, to see whether you improved or maybe went the other way, it's what brings you back for more golf the next day.
And I tell you what, the overnight updating in this new system, the World Handicap System, and the app that makes it so easy to put your scores in, and it accounts for everything. Where you're playing, is it a home course, it is an away course, what tees were you playing from, it's all there, it's all very simple. And I'm glad that the handicapping system has finally seemed to catch up with the rest of us in terms of what we're used to technology-wise.
That's right, yeah, and working with the USGA, and obviously now it's global, just making it that much more intuitive in real time. You know, the world we're in is real time. People want their results and their data, and it's at the snap of your fingers. So we are finally caught up, and it's exciting for the game.
Yeah, I don't want to wait a month, and I don't want to have to sit down at the computer in the pro shop that everyone else is using. You don't have to anymore. Okay, Jesse Menachem is the executive director of Mass Golf. So we spent a lot of time talking about handicapping, but Mass Golf is a lot more about just helping you establish a handicap. So for someone who's been playing for several years, they're having a fine old time just going out and playing every once in a while. If they join Mass Golf, what does that bring to the table for that person?
Yeah, really, you know, to us, it's about being part of the community, whether you're playing competitively and compete in some of our championships, enjoy access through our member days, or really just want to follow the game of golf and be a fan of the game of golf within the state. We have all those platforms and mediums for folks, no matter what skill level, male, female. Really, it's Mass Golf. It's golf for the masses, and we ultimately want to be the resource for your golf needs on a daily basis.
And for brand new players, there's resources for them too.
There are, most definitely, yeah. I mean, educational resources to get introduced, whether it's the rules of golf, handicapping like we discussed, or even introductory events. You know, we have a member day program that's for any golfer, and you can make it as casual or competitive as you'd like.
All right, so Jesse Menachem, he's the executive director of Mass Golf. We're standing here at Gannon. Believe me, there are so many courses I'd never been to before. I drive up to Gannon Municipal Golf Course in Lynn, not knowing what I'd find. What an amazing facility. I mean, this is a muni in Lynn with a fantastic layout here. I can't believe the conditions. We're standing out here because you just wrapped up a tournament. What tournament was taking place today?
We just crowned our 2020 Amateur Public Links Champion. An event that's longstanding for Mass Golf and just a great way to showcase our public facilities, but also our public access golfers out there.
Well, I mentioned the names of the winner and runner-up at the top of the show here today, but it was cool following along on the leaderboard. And here's something else that I just want to tell people. When you go on to massgolf.org, you can look at the leaderboards for these tournaments, and it's like you're looking at a leaderboard for a PGA tournament. You know, it's got the name listed there, what club they're playing out of, what they did in the first round, what they did today. And it's cool seeing guys who play out of George Wright and Hyde Park, which was my home course for years, or playing out of Brook Meadow, which is in my town now of Canton. So it kind of gives you that connectivity, and it also shows that not everybody has to be awful at this game. There are guys who are playing at the same course as you are who are out there shooting subpar rounds on a regular basis.
No, that's absolutely true, and we take pride in being able to offer that service and kind of those real-time results for fans and family to keep an eye on whoever they may be watching. But even in a year of COVID-19 where we can't offer spectators, it gives folks a chance to be a fan and be a part of what we have to offer at Mass Golf and to tell the story, you know, of the great play that we have here. It's been 6 weeks of championship golf. The scoring has been incredible. The play has been first class. And to be able to showcase our clubs who are hosting us really is tremendous. And they're hugely supportive of our programs.
Yeah, it's a great way to get people to see these courses and experience them. I heard that your winner today said he had never played this course before. So it's cool for an opportunity, a really good player, to come up and play a course like this and see what it's all about. You have other events coming up, though, later on at the end of the summer and this fall. What else is still coming up?
We do, yeah, from one-day tournaments. We have a Dolly Sullivan tournament, which is for women representing their clubs. We have our mid-amateur championships for men and women, 25 and up. We'll be at Black Rock Country Club and out at Great Horse for those events, respectfully. And from there in September, we dive into our senior ranks. So we have our senior amateur, super senior, and just a great way to finish up the year. And hopefully we keep this this favorable weather around.
What are the age cutoffs for senior and super senior? Because I'm really not, you know, going to go out there and compete with the mid-amateurs, but I'm thinking maybe get the game together for the senior and the super senior.
I think you got a ways to go, but it's 55 and up for the senior am. And, you know, something to strive for. How
okay.
about that?
All right. Well, yeah, I got several years, though. But that, you know, I sound like one of those guys. I'm going to get my game together and join the champions. Now, why don't you start off with a senior event at Mass Golf, see how that goes, and then you can worry about teeing it up alongside, you know, the guys out there on the champions tour.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, again, we cater to everybody. So we've got events for every age bracket, handicap division, and just great events to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ready to take on Bernard Langer just yet. Maybe I'll try a senior event in Massachusetts in a few more years. Well, this is great. I really look forward to talking to you more this season and, you know, next year and beyond. And I know we've spoken before, Jesse, but this is great to have you on the show again and to showcase everything that Mass Golf is doing and get people to, you know, to check it out. And if for no other reason, like you said, be a part of the community and establish that handicap. Those are, I would say, the quick 1-2 punch of what you can do by just going on to massgolf.org.
That's exactly right. Be a part of the Mass Golf family, the community, and play Mass Golf.
All right. Jesse Menachem, Executive Director of Mass Golf. Good to see you again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Good to see you.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, thanks to Jesse Menachem there from Mass Golf. As you could tell, that was recorded earlier in the week. And as we were all listening to that, I went on to Mass Golf. And guess what I found? Long article about Jake Schuman, who our buddy Rob down in Fort Myers mentioned had qualified for the Wyndham Championship this week. Mass Golf has stories on local players and all this. It's great. Six things to know about PGA Tour newcomer Jake Schuman, making his PGA Tour debut this week at the Wyndham. He finished second at the Monday qualifier. He played college at Duke, won the 2020 Delaware Open. A lot of Mass Golf accolades, including the 2013 Mass Golf Junior Player of the Year. Set a course record of 64, 7 under at Taconic during the 2016 Mass Amateur. And plays out of Blue Hill Country Club, which is right down the street from me. Needham High School, apparently, is where he played his high school golf. Two individual state championships for Needham High School. And what does it say here that he is? Schuman said his grandparents on his mother's side joined Blue Hill Country Club 45 years ago. Schuman grew up playing there as a third-generation member. Oh, a lot of people who reached out to congratulate me were from Blue Hill. Well, that's very nice. All right, so congrats to Jake for at least qualifying for the Wyndham earlier this week. And as I said earlier in the show, for Mass Golf, if you are looking to get one of your kids into golf, they have a lot of resources there, and they're all listed on the Mass Golf website under the Youth tab, First Tee of Massachusetts. Youth on Course, which is a program that allows players to go out and play affordable access to golf, $15 annual membership fee, and that gives that player ages 6 to 18 access to play at any participating course throughout Massachusetts for $5 a round. And there's a bunch of courses who honor that Youth on Course program. Not to mention their MIAA student program and competitive junior golf. You can find out a lot more on massgolf.org. And as I said, we'll be talking more about youth golf with the guys from Mass Golf here in the coming weeks. So we learned earlier this week that the Masters will take place without spectators. We already knew that they had postponed this year's Masters, and it will take place in November, hopefully, fingers crossed. The Augusta National chairman and the Masters chairman, Fred Ridley, released a statement. He said, "We determined that the potential risks of welcoming patrons to our grounds in November are simply too significant to overcome." So with that, they decided no patrons, as the Masters prefers them to be called, not crowds, not fans, no patrons this year. But okay, what about Masters tickets? You know, if you're like me, you get into the Masters ticket lottery every year. What about the people who have tickets for the Masters this year? Well, club sent out an email to badge and ticket holders. ESPN got a copy of it, and it said that information will be coming in early September as to how to request a refund or transfer ticket usage to 2021. And an opportunity to buy merchandise will also be provided. So, I mean, that's good and bad news. It's good news if you had tickets for this year's Masters and you're not going to be able to go. So they're going to offer you an opportunity, apparently, to transfer to next year's event, which, again, we all hope will be taking place in April of 2021. But for people like me who submitted their ticket request for 2021, as I have found out, my odds are very slim because I have never had my name chosen for even practice round tickets, much less tournament tickets. I imagine your chances will be even less for getting tickets for the 2021 Masters, because the people who had tickets for this year, sounds like they're going to get first crack at next year. So, more good news here in 2020. All right, we got a big hockey game coming up today at noon, so we got to get the hockey show. I don't want to be late for that, so I will thank Jesse Menachem for being a guest on the show today from Mass Golf. Thanks to Jesse Menachem and people who called in. We'll do it again next weekend, Sports Hub Golf Club here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. As I said, hockey show coming up right after the headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.